Joe, we pray. Heavenly Father, we remember the time when Paul was confronted by worshipers of gods, and he saw the altar dedicated to the unknown God, and he said, "I'll reveal that one whom you worship in ignorance." They did not know him. And we realize today, Lord, that to be acceptable in our worship, we have to know you. As the scripture, Jesus himself said, "Whom to know right is life eternal." We have to not only know, but know aright. So help us in our understanding, Lord, we pray, that we might truly know you and know you by revealed word, because we know that's the final criterion of what you yourself said about yourself and what you said about us and all these other things, Lord. May we therefore worship you in spirit and in truth, knowing you, Lord, whom to know right is life eternal. And to worship in spirit and in truth in the knowledge and revelation of our God. We know that's what it is, Lord. It's before us today. It's always been that way, but now as never before. So help us, we pray, to not miss one iota, one jot, one tittle, but to have the fullness, even as it has been delivered to us, able to bring us into the resurrection, immortality, millennium. Not one thing missing, Lord. We completely perfect in you, who is in himself complete and perfect. We understand that, Lord, to this degree, but we wish to go further. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're at number 21 this morning. Does God change his mind or ever change his mind about his word? And we trust maybe we'll be able to get finished now. Last night, we probed into and discussed misunderstood. Not understood, but misunderstood grace and love that God projects. Which projection by God of grace and love and faith without works people take and presume they can bypass the Word of God as though the Word of God was some secondary or passing phase in the plan and purpose of God, whereas God and His Word are one and the same and both to be reckoned with as one and neither one without the other. Now, it's on tape what I read, and this is a very true statement. Now, the sad thing is that experience seemingly backs this up, because there is a permissive will of God that God allows us to take as free moral agents who believe the word unto temporal blessings, but not unto righteousness and eternal life, though we believe we have both of them. So you see where one goes and the other goes. The case in point is Matthew 7, which is indicative of this Pentecostal age, and also spoken of in Acts the 2nd chapter. So, all right, in Matthew the 7th chapter, and Brother Branham used this many times, speaking of the false teachers, the false prophets, and then he says, because of those false prophets, the false teaching, many of the last day are going to come before God and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works?" And the answer is, "You most certainly did, but I don't know you. See, I know your works, and they look wonderful. They look just like sheep. You've insulated yourself very wonderfully with the word that you took that I must back up." And God backs up every single one of his words. Now, if you've got a word in there that positively does not deal with eternality but deals with the temporal, there is no trouble in you getting it, and you can say, "Well, hey, look what I've got, therefore I must be born again, everything must be okay," and you're 100% wrong. Now, there again, it's on tape what I said. Now, you listen carefully. Now, in the 2nd chapter of Acts, right there at the day of Pentecost, Peter gives the whole thing in a nutshell. And watch what he says about it. The 16th verse. And the people said, "They're drunken." He said, "No way are they drunken. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass on the last day, said God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaid," the two groups of people that get the same spirit poured out. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath and blood and fire and vaporous smoke. The sun turned into darkness and moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. It come to pass where it shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you notice right at Pentecost, there was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And that manifestation, which was in prophecy and in tongues and in gifts in the church and all, positively demonstrations of the Holy Ghost, Peter said would repeat at the end time, just before the great tribulation, where God would now pour His Spirit upon all flesh, and anybody and everybody could do this, and this is not pertinent to salvation, so therefore it is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You follow me? This is where Pentecost has always had its trouble with those that are true students of the Word of God. They said, no way is tongues the evidence. No way is a manifestation. Then they went completely haywire. They said, well, you know, the devil can speak in tongues. Then they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. That's why the Missionary Alliance Church is dead, 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 and the Nazarene Church is dead, 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 and they make love to a corpse. So, my God, don't my God me, smarten up, kid. You've got a vindicated prophet brought us that. Now, this today is absolutely the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Now, it tells you here, Paul said, leaving these various things here, we're going to go on to perfection. And this we'll do if God permit. But God did not permit, but He showed what He was talking about here back in the time where the people couldn't take a true understanding of Melchizedek. The church was not in a position due to its non-maturity, and maturity, brother, sister, can only come at a certain time, which is harvest time. Let's not try to spray the fruit with something to bring it on. That's exactly what students did with prophecy, and they tried to spray God's tree to bring on the fruit to maturity before its time, and it fell off dead, dead, dead. Now, there comes a time here, Paul said, when the mystery should be known, one of which was the mystery of Melchizedek, brought up by Brother Branham in the spring of 1965. And he put it under the seventh seal of the seven thunders. Okay, now Paul said, I can't tell you that because you're too immature. You couldn't take it because this is strong meat. An absolute further revelation of God that they could not get in the first century. They'd only get in the last century. Under the seventh seal and the seven great thunders. Now, Brother Branham said at the time, that is the time of perfection. Perfection means it's all over. Israel's back in the homeland, the time of the resurrection, the bride's ready to be taken up. That's before the great tribulation. Now, he said, we're going to go on to perfection, but he said, we can't. Paul couldn't do it. Now, watch what he said at the time of perfection, which means the time of maturity. Now, I don't care how good a thing looks or how bad a thing looks. Maturity is maturity. It means the seed has now come through the plant form and returned in a multiplied form. The same seed that went down has now come back. The two vines are ripening. Trust in the sickle and reap the vine of the earth. See? Now watch. It is impossible. I'm going to read you what we says because I like it better. Therefore, having put away once and for all the words, and he goes on down now, and he said, this will do if God permits. For it's impossible in the case of those who have been once for all enlightened and have both tasted of the heavenly gift and have become companions of the Holy Spirit. And tasted the good word of God, also the powers of the age which is about to come, and have fallen away again to be renewing them to repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put you in open shame. For the land which drinks in the rain that comes oft upon it produces herb, each suitable for those on whose account it is also tilled, partakes of blessing from God. But if it brings forth thorns and thistles, it's rejected and cursed, and its end is burning. Not nigh unto burning, but burning. Now, every time you see the word burning, it is harvest time. And what is not essential to God, what is not valuable to God, is now burnt up. Simple as ABC. And this is what you're looking at in this message that Brother Branham is talking about here. Does God ever change His mind about His Word? Most certainly He does not ever change His mind about His Word. But a lot of people get the idea He does because He gives them temporal blessings. And they say, well, all right now, by grace and by love, the Word is not the important thing. It is Jesus. But He is the Word. See, there you are again when you try to divide Logos from from the original Rhema. That's where you get these birds running around to confuse people. And they want to take you away from say, oh, I don't like that term in the message. Well, I thought Christ was the message. Amen. If He was a visible manifestation of what God's all about, then He is the message. As Brother Branham said, a man and his message, the message and messenger is one and the same. See? So these fellows run around, they try what they try to do. They say, well, now listen, they get you down to the point, let's talk about Jesus. We all love Jesus. Hallelujah. I say, what Jesus? The one of your imagination, you harebrained idiot? Say, Brother Dale, you're not nice. Why should I be nice? God's going to boot him into hell. Don't tell me I'm going to stand back and say, well, God, don't do it. When those birds try to destroy me and try to destroy you, you think I'm supposed to be a nice guy? You've got to be sick. Yeah, I'm like Bush, a kinder and gentler nation, with a burp gun. I don't mind preaching love. I'm going to tell you one thing, the Word of God is a sword in any man's hands. And the sword of the King is what was vindicated in this hour. All right, these people know the temporal things, and so therefore they feel they're right in God's pocket, and they are not. Now, we're reading here back on page, where are we? 36. Now, Brother Branham says here in paragraph 176 that we're talking about the women, you see, and the men allowing the women to do this in the church and the woman types of church. So we're talking about what the church is really doing when we're talking about the woman. We're talking about her, how she's dressed. And remember, she all the time she's revealing more and more her nakedness, or she's putting on men's clothes as though she's a man. And remember, the Laodicean church is wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Though they say we're rich in Christian goods and don't lack anything, and that word wretched means they're crouching and begging like a beggar, but they say, hey, I got the world beat, hey, everything is great. That's the way America talks right today, building the image, and she ain't worth a plug nickel. We're in debt for the next 40 generations. I don't think just 40 years, 40 generations that something's done. And you think for 1 minute they're going to soak the rich, the 4% that own over 23% of the wealth of America, you think they'll soak them? They can't soak them. Because the Bible says, go to you, rich man, weep and howl, because you withheld the laborer's wages. You think that people are going to stand down here and make a decision that's going to come against God? There's no way. God's already said, you rich men weep and howl. You think you're going to take away the money the Jews got the paper? And take the gold for Rome? Why, anybody kiddy? Don't kid yourself, brother, sister. There's nothing you can do. You can even take the atomic bomb and think one bomb over Washington won't solve one thing. No. Just get rid of those crooks, another bunch come in. And all was there worse than the other. Now, Brother Branham says, women say, I wear shorts, I do this, it doesn't bother me. I know my faith is in Christ, not in what I wear. Like this big mouth woman preacher from the Brethren Church up there in Finley. She came in, she said, bless God, I'll dress like Martha when you guys dress like George. Ho, 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 what a joke. I'll be there when she's cast in the lake of fire. She said, Brother Baker, I'm not vindictive. If I miss the rapture, I miss the millennium, I miss the bride, at least I can stand before God on the white throne. So I preached it. Hey, nothing to do with me. This is not my book. I believe in Christ. Same old junk they tried to pull down in Florida one day. His sister, she's a very sweet lady, but she's had shouted ministry going around to talk to preachers to set them straight. She said, well, Brother Vale, the trouble is they always fuss about the word. Why don't you talk about Jesus? I said, sister, don't give me that. Another Eve. So, brother, sister. Thank God the prophet's gone. It's bad enough for a guy like me to be here without a guy like him being here to really affect. This doesn't affect me much. I just get mad and spout it. That fellow had a revelation. Brother Branham had a revelation, you know, and God in him, like. It's a good thing he's gone. His wife's gone. I envy them. Be nice to get out of here, too. Not what I wear. But the Bible said there is something to it. See? What? Why do you do it? You make a stumbling block like Balaam did before every one of the other women. What'll it do to your young girls? You have a bunch of Rakettas. That's exactly right. A bunch of little pent-up Jezebels. See, but God will prosper. Now, we're going to get back to 177, which I start this morning. Why, he blesses me. They say, I don't doubt that. He blessed Balaam too. Then Balaam got carried away against God. And against the people of God. The blessing doesn't mean anything. You better understand what it's all about before you talk about blessing. He blessed me. Certainly he will. You're walking in his permissive will, not his perfect will. God doesn't change his mind because he blesses you. He blessed Israel right out there for 40 years. What did they do? Married wives, raised up families, kissed the children, paid their tithe, lived right out there. In other words, sheep clothing, well insulated. But God blessed them in the wilderness and fed them with manna on. And every one of them perished because they never kept his original will, his word. They took his permissive way. In other words, they opted for another course. Now, I want to go back to paragraph 174. Now listen closely. When the word test came, when they went over and saw the opposition was so great, the greatest opposition they'd ever seen, the Amalekites were 10 times their size. We looked like grasshoppers. Their fences and their walled cities, you can run a chariot, 2 chariots abreast on top of the walls. They saw these great things. They saw the spears. They saw the giants, and they looked like nothing in their sight. And they said, we can't go in. Hey, listen, there's something wrong here. Something wrong. We'll never be able to get in. We see all these other things out there. And Joshua and Caleb said, shut up. Just wait a minute. Settle down. We are more than a match. You know, that's why people are leaving this message and going back to Pentecost. Because it's not exciting. This church is dead because all I do is preach the word. You should be running around stopping storms, doing this. I'd like to see somebody stop a storm. Any big mouth can say he did. So did Robertson say he stopped a tornado. Ha! Well, maybe he didn't. He could still go to hell according to Scripture. He's a Trinitarian. How do you love a God after your own imagination, your own understanding? See, I'm cutting you down this morning. I've been doing it all my life amongst you here. Is it the word or isn't it the word? If it's his word, he'll back it up. You're safe and secure if it is his word. If it's your idea about his word, you are not safe and secure. You're messed up worse than Hogan's goat. Well, I don't care how many gifts you've got and how many perfections you've got as to fruit and everything else, and what you say is valid. There's only one thing that's valid. What does God say, and what does he mean when he says it? Like Bush, when did he find out he didn't know? And what didn't he know when he found out he didn't know? We're talking about, you know, the Iran curtain. Iran gate. Same with Reagan. You think those guys are on the cover up in a bluff? I don't know what they're doing. They care less. But I want you to look at this thing. People look around and they say, hey, we better go back to Pentecost. We better do something to add this message. We better get going. Hey, we're just a few in number. They forget that many more are the children of the desolate than she that have a husband. Sure. Right down the line here. Now, These people back in that day opted for another way. So we go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. And he's talking about, wherefore holy brethren partakes of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builded the house hath more honor than the house. Now they're talking about Jesus' relationship to God, and he's the high priest. And the relationship to God is because of us and for us. Now, Moses verily is faithful not his house as servant, and for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now the word hope in there is greater than faith. Because hope means earnest expectation, faith, hope, love. Hope comes after faith. So therefore, these people, in Paul's day, had a manifestation, a vindication that made them to know they were beyond faith. William Branham operated beyond faith. When he said, I tell you what, he said, if God told me to raise Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, no matter who it was from the dead, he said, I'd go down there and raise him, or the army there shoot me down. That's not faith, brother, sister. Don't tell me that's faith. That's knowledge. That's hope. The Bible said a man hopeth for what he hath seen. Why does he hope if he sees the thing? So those people had something right there which they knew that they were beyond faith. They were going to get it 100%. Now watch what it says in verse 7. Wherefore is the Holy Ghost set today if you would hear his voice? Harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation of the wilderness, when they tested me, when your fathers tempted me and proved me. They tested me, saying, do this, do that, and we'll believe. And saw my works 40 years. Now listen, they saw God's works 40 years, but they wanted their own works that God would do for them. They said, never mind what God does. We want this, then we'll believe. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now listen, that generation lasted a long time, more than just 40 years. We got a generation here. So I swear in my wrath that they shouldn't enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, there, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made companions, not partakers, we're made companions of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. And some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter in his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, every single thing that was done in order to provoke faith in the very word that was to be given to them, the very word that was going to take them in, just went over their heads. In other words, let's face it, vindication doesn't mean anything except to the elect. So you can preach vindication, vindication, say, well, this was vindicated. That's why Brother Branham was vindicated before all those Hindus and God knows what, 500,000 over there in India, and it didn't mean a thing. All it meant was, according to their religion, a God was in William Branham. And if you could touch William Branham or get part of his clothes somehow, you could get from that God that was in William Branham what they wanted, which was what? Material things. They didn't care two bits who the living God was. Although demonstrated right before their noses. Now, come on. That's the world today, brother, sister. That's why Brother Branham was scared when they said, I hear 10,000 believe this message. Got to shake them off. Oh, yeah. You better believe. One wise virgin, maybe 8 foolish, according to the ark, in the days of Noah and the days of Enoch. All right. Now it says here, they did not believe. And he spoke in a certain place that Joshua could have given them rest, and they didn't enter in. So why will not the people in this hour enter in?
because they say, hey, listen, what's all this junk about vindication? We got the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me we need anybody to come now as though the Holy Ghost comes again like in the days of the Apostle Paul and is going to do something. They got it all neatly packaged. There is no way that they will believe because they cannot believe. Because God has to grant repentance, which is a change of mind. Now, what's the use of God changing your mind if you're from that point on, your mind cannot absorb the Word of God, which is what repentance is all about. So these people cannot repent. There's nothing in there to repent. Okay. Now he says here, go ahead. Israel took the permissive way, what he's talking about. They could have gone in, but they wouldn't go in, even on the grounds of vindication. They said, let us go back to Egypt. And there are hundreds, look at how many preachers today have preached vindicated prophet, and take their churches right back to Pentecost. They you know what, they're liars. Tell you one thing, unless I go completely insane, you don't need to worry about that around here, because I ain't going back where I came out of. Forget it. This may not be anything you write home about when you look at yourself and the people around about you. But let's put it this way. I've been through a lot of crowds. Forget it. I still like this crowd. I like where I'm at. Now he said, go ahead, but remember, when they left Kadesh, Barnea, they never turned it any further. Now watch. They just went round and round in the wilderness. Brother Branham said under the message that he brought us here, under those seven thunders, was everything we needed to put us in the rapture. But everybody's milling around wanting something else. I don't want anything else. Bless God, just give me what the prophet said. Let me understand it. Let it be mine. And let the life come forth out of it in my life. I don't care two bits for anything else because I don't think I got 0.1% of what the prophet talked about. So if you think you've got enough of this and want something else, you're listening to the wrong preacher. Stick around anyway. At least, you know, your company. Misery loves company. Whatever. Milling around. See? And that's what they do. Because they don't see the clear-cut objective of what God brought them out for. That's Israel now. Brought them out for. Gave them the word to take them in. Now that's where we stand. Now, what do you worry about anything else? Just spend the rest of your sojourn here in fear. The word sojourn means you're a pilgrim, you're a stranger to the land where you are. You don't own it yet, but you will. So just spend that time in fear. Fear of what? Lest you let the promise slip. What is the promise? It's our right to the tree of life and immortality. Say what you want, but that's it. And we have the revelation because he is here in the form of the Son of Man. That's already taken care of. Now, they could have been out of there in 2 days. They could have been in the promised land, but they journeyed 40 years and every one of them died, but Joshua and Caleb. And the young ones who stayed on the original word, they went in with Joshua and Caleb. Oh, God help us. God doesn't change his will. He doesn't change his mind, but he'll bless you. Sure, he blessed Balaam. But why did he, what did he do down there? He polluted the whole camp. And so you have to stay with what he said. He never changed his original plan. Now, what's Brother Branham saying? He said this goof-off, Balaam, who thought he could twist God's arm and make God do what he wanted because he had faith. Oh, yes. Just like a guy years ago told me, he's dead now, poor old guy. He said, you know, Brother Baal, when I got born again and full of the Holy Ghost, he said, God took away tobacco. And he said, I never even wanted to smoke. But he said, one day I just knew. He said, I could dare God. That I could put a cigarette in my mouth to smoke that thing and just take it out and throw it away. He said, I never quit smoke from that hour. I don't say that it worked with everybody. You might have been delivered of something and go right ahead and touch it again. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to build the word on an experience. I'm just trying to tell you, don't fool with God. See, don't call God's bluff. He doesn't play chicken. You better believe you got a couple of jalopies out here in the road, and God's in one of them, and you can make him play chicken. You're going to find it. You'll be the dead rooster on the roadside. Because the Bible said their carcasses fell. Their carrion fell. Not semantic, but not soma, but toma. Absolutely. What did he do? He polluted the camp. Now, he was not a prophet to Israel. But Israel took him to be another prophet. How many people have fallen for the old gag? Brother Branham's gone. Now, I'm taking his place. How many people got itching ears to hear somebody with some little sign or something? These guys that had Polaroid cameras, and they're notorious for leaking light, and little lights come out. So now here's a guy with the thing. God knows, he said it's a dove of fire. It looks like something that Picasso, and I degrade his name, and you know the crap that he painted and stuff. Picasso, surrealist. You could no more tell that's a dove than nothing. But he made himself an apostle because he has a dove of fire, don't you know? He has a deceived and lying mind and tongue. But he deceives people. He's no better than the guy with the 8-inch pick that plays the guitar, the perfect God's people, because, you know, there's a little bit in the Word about music, and Brother Branham said a bit about music. Brother Branham also said some things about music, too. Take all the quotes. All right, he polluted the camp. In other words, the people did not stick with Moses, and so therefore Joshua could do nothing. So our Joshua today is the Holy Ghost himself to take us in the pillar of fire that will lead us in. And if we don't stick with Brother Branham, therefore the Holy Ghost is gone. And you'll go up in smoke. And I'll go up in smoke. Brands for the burning. They stayed with the original word. What original word? The one that Moses gave, vindicated. Oh, God help us. God doesn't change his will. He doesn't change his mind. Sure, he blessed Balaam. He'll bless you too, but you're going to get it at the price of pollution. Because God never changes his original plan. It's just people that fool with it and gets to say, well, go ahead and fool with it. You know, like one fellow said here, he said, God's harvest is not just from spring, summer, you know, spring, summer, and fall like we have on earth. It's a long way down the road, but he said, don't worry, you'll be there. Now look at the Balaams today in the field, would you? Just look around, prospering, speaking in tongues, sure, using God's gift to gain. Everything, sure, but it defiles the whole church of God with their corrupt teaching. That's right, like this guy Lee gets on the air talking about what a great servant of God he is, and how his house burnt down, and oh my, his furniture went up in smoke, and this little house in Kansas, in fact, he'd been trying to sell and couldn't get rid of it. I wonder if he torched it or somebody else did for him. I don't know, I'm just saying I wonder. Sure, I'd wonder, because the bird's got a great big beautiful mansion worth millions of dollars on a lake, but he's got no home. When you talk about heaven, he sure hasn't got one. Say, Brother Bill, how do you know? Because I'm not stupid. I'm not one of those that thinks I'm wealthy, rich, and I'm beggarly poor. I know everything I got's in Christ. Without him, there's nothing. But these guys are rich in the world's goods. And they say, well, you know, then the children gets wrong. What? He said, you know, God's servants don't need to be poor. I've heard that before, too. All right. One said to me, what are you doing this for? What are you doing that for? Then the Brother Brandon preaching the way he's preaching on this tape here. I said, don't you believe that that's the truth? Oh, yes, but you know what? That's none of your business, Brother Branham. You're here to pray for the sick. They believe that you are a prophet. Why, you could teach these women and these men how to do this, that, and the other things. He said, how can you teach them algebra when they don't know their ABCs? What's the ABC of the gospel? Always believe Christ? No, not at all. Not in this case. Because they all believe Christ. They just don't believe his word. Christ and his word is the same, so therefore they don't believe him either. What's the ABC? Go back to Cain and Abel. There you are. B is back. A and C is Cain and Abel. There's your ABC. Go back. Go back and look at worship. See what it's all about. You can't tell them that. There's no way you're going to tell them that, see? How can you teach them these things when they don't even take the primer? They're primers. See, you've got to come back and start where you began or where you left off and then take every word of God. Just look in the pew today. As Balaam married a harlot into God's church, so there are false teachers today trying to tell you something. They're going to marry every one of these organizations and these people into the old harlot of Revelation 17. They're Balaam doctrine going around today and say, we're just the same. We're all Christians. And the priests and popes and whatever are compromising in doing this. And the Pope has already said the Protestants who believe in Trinity and baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are Catholics. He said, you are our people because you have our teaching. And they say, we wrote the Bible, like fun they wrote the Bible. Why, they don't even know what's in it. And when they commissioned Luther to study the Word of God, he got a doctorate for it. And he knew it so well, they praised him. And one day he goes to Rome to receive further accolades and be granted audience with the Pope and pat him on the back. And Luther saw them doing penance and trying to get justification. And the word rang down heaven that the just shall live by faith. And he said, my God, these people are all wrong and I'm wrong with it. And he stood right there with the word of Almighty God. Well, people aren't going to take that word today, brother, sister, because now the Pope says we're all one. And he's right. Even I know a Pentecostal preacher started now giving around kosher, a little round kosher, you know, the wafer for bread. That means Astaroth, the moon god, a kosher wafer, said, shut your eyes and take it if it hurts your conscience. Shut your eyes? A round wafer? What does it mean? We're talking about the broken body. Christ Jesus broken, not a round moon god. Astaroth, who Mary took the place of, and the Roman kosher is still around, moon goddess, moon god. We have broken kosher, certainly. Now, what do you have today? You're right back in 1 Corinthians 11, where they desecrated the communion table. They're doing it again. Another bunch take a loaf of bread, and they say, break off a piece, break off a piece, break off a piece. So they all break off a piece. Now they drink some wine, say, this is it, that's a lie, that's not it. We saw what Brother Branham did. He had communion and foot washing. Somebody said, well, I believe foot washing comes first, and you can maybe take John 13 and prove it. The prophet did otherwise. Let's go the way of the prophet. You know, Jesus began to do and to teach. And they were one and the same. What he did was the word. So now the great harlot of Revelation 17, these Balaam teachers with their false doctrine, is marrying the church into that kind of a mess. Now when you talk about marrying, you're talking about husband and wife. And when you talk about husband and wife, you talk scripturally about headship. Who's running the thing? Not the woman. The woman today, she still thinks she's running things. She's crazy. My God, I don't know what's wrong with women. They've sold themselves 100% of the clutches of men. Absolutely a mess. And they still go around thinking they're liberated. How do you think women are picking up AIDS today? I can tell you, women don't pick it up from homosexuality, and men do that. They're heterosexual liberated women, most of them. Look at that little school in Texas. Now they're debating there whether that woman told the truth. They think she lied about, what is it, 6 kids out of a town of 1,100 population? They've got AIDS. And because it's one of those things that has to do with privacy, they can't let the cat out of the bag. So they got it on. I listened to public radio the other night. And here they were talking. They had the kids from school talking. And the one girl said, no, she said, I believe that woman lied. She just wants to make a name for herself. She wants to establish an office. And if she makes the people think that they got AIDS, then they'll be more careful because we don't think they got AIDS. And here was a little girl come on the scene in another school about the same size. She said, hold it right there. I've got AIDS. She said, the second time I had intercourse was with the boy that had AIDS and he gave it to me. Now I just live day to day. And she said, you bet she could be right. Look at this church. You think your kids couldn't get it? You kids think you can't get it? I tell you right now. You are just kidding yourselves. But you can't tell a stupid old dope like me, old Lee Dale. He doesn't know anything. He's got rid of all his past and stuff. Don't you kid yourself, you bunch of stupid little brats. Because that's what most of you are. You're not dry behind the ears, but you sure want to think you are. You see, you talk rough. Listen, I had that kind of talk when I was a kid. I never went near a pool hall even. You see, you're some kind of virtuous guy. I never said that. I'm saying what Brother Branham says here. God doesn't change his mind about his word. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you got premarital sex, you marry the woman, you marry the man. You don't run like dogs and beasts. See, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. Look, I'm human, you're human. There's nobody doesn't have the flesh of the serpent. There's nobody that's not tempted. The Bible said, keep your vessels clean. Keep them clean or you'll pay the price. You say, why do you raise your voice and fuss? Because I know some of you are in the position you could drown. You'd be carried away with the tide. Some of you have already tried it. You're just lucky you've escaped, but you watch your turn's coming. You think you can whore around, you're crazy. I mean it. The vengeance of God is in this land, brother, sister, and don't you try to change it because Israel's back in the homeland and we had a vindicated prophet. So I don't believe that. You don't believe nothing. You don't anyway. See, all right, he married him in. What do you get when you get diseases? You go to a harlot. How does disease spread? By harlotry. Now, all the women are harlots. They jump in bed with anybody. Do you think that's smart? Do you think that's the way to go? Do you think that's character? You don't even know the name of it. My brother Brand talked about the woman with her hair and he said, that old gal with the spare tire. Well, he said, you young slobs, something like that. He said, I use the word slob. You little spritz, as he called them. The little rickettas. Teeny boppers. He said, you don't even know the nature and the character. You don't know a thing about it. Where people have no more conscience, the snake's got hips. See, you have the physical with the spiritual. Why did Israel go into whoredoms with Balaam and his gang? Because it was in their hearts. Why? Because they weren't fortified with the word. You say, now listen, they'd been really real in the first place. I want to tell you something. They wouldn't have done it. You know, just watch that hogwash for a second. You mean to tell me that Eve wasn't really real? You're going to tell me she wasn't really real? That she wasn't identical to Adam because she was a helpmeet and he's one of his species, one of his own? But not in the original creation. That was the only difference. But she was taken right from him. And she got suckered by the devil? You think you can't be? The great apostle Paul killed God's children thinking you're doing God a favor? You think you can't be suckered? And I'm not saying S-U-C-C-O-R-D. I'm saying S-U-C-K-E-R-D. So he flipped the tape. We've got to move fast. We're getting ready for another tape. Now cease the great harlot, Revelation 17, these Balaam teachers, false doctrine, marrying the church into that kind of a mess. He's talking now about the word being absolutely changed, and therefore, when the word is changed, your basic character begins to come out. Because you were put in a human form here, you bypassed your spiritual theophany in order to be tested. In other words, you could not bring your revelation which you had back there. You could not do it. Because if you'd have had it, you wouldn't get into sin. You'd say, sin, get by. Can't have a thing to do with you. That's not testing. You don't test a rock, he doesn't run and fly. Rock can't run and fly. We were put in here to be tested. And when you get away from that word, that's when you begin to fall and go down. God help us to understand this is our defense, this is our might. I preached on that in Covenants in the books. Absolutely. Now he said, watch when it comes to showdown in this messy time, end time. Look at the weakness of it. 900 and some different organizations, one pulling one way, one another way. That's 931 ways. There's more. Now, Brother Branham missed it by 1,200. The latest figures I read is about 2,200. Oh, man. That's not to mention independence. There's no unity among them, but they're trying to bring a unity, not backed by the Word of God, God's original plan. They're taking it in by politics and organization. God doesn't change His mind. He stays right with His Word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. That's right. He stays with His original Word. though they still reason against it, just like they did back there. There's only one thing to do. Remember, he won't change his mind. So the one thing to do is just believe, because heavens and earth will pass away, but his word never will. So if you're with the word and the word's with you, it's going to take you through. To what? God. For the word returns to God. Jesus said, I came from God and I go back to God. So do we. Bit of different than him. But it's the same principle, because he stands in the church and said, I'm not ashamed to call these guys brethren. You mean all these birds that look so yucky yucky? He said, yes, sir, we're all of one source. He said, you don't mean it. He said, I do, or I wouldn't have said it. How do you think Paul felt that day when the vision struck him, that word of God came, and he said he stood in the midst of the church singing praise unto Almighty God. And he said, these are my brethren, and I'm not ashamed to call them brethren, because we've got one Father. Well, just a minute. Don't just a minute me. I've been explaining it. One person, Jesus Christ, remembered. He did not bypass his spiritual form. He had a memory. You and I don't, but one day we're going to lose this memory, thank God. Now you guys that have messed your lives up along with me and everybody sitting here. There's a great day coming, hallelujah. There'll be peace not in the valley, but on the mountaintop. In the city of our King. Because the city Zion is on Mount Zion. In the form of a pyramid. Wonderful. All right, listen here. Stay with the word. Now, you see what you're marrying into. Getting married into. See the politics and things. How they're trying to join the church together by politics in the church. We are not joined to Christ by politics. We are joined to Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And ye, and the way you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's because that Spirit in you identifies every word of God to be the truth. That's right. For whosoever shall take one word out of it or add one word to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. Yet this man prospered. Now, you can see right here, Brother Branham gives the evidence of the baptism. The way you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because the Spirit in you identifies every word of God to be the truth. Now, what every word of God? Anybody say, well, I believe the Bible and cover to cover. In fact, I even believe the covers. No problem. I believe what's written in front of it. This Bible was printed in 1948. That's a very facile answer. But so did Israel. But they had it all wrong. What if the world's got it wrong today? Where does it leave you? Well, you say, somebody, well, that means then that seeing nobody is right, because nobody can really prove anything, that means it's not that it's up for grabs anymore, but you see, Brother Dale, that's grace. That's love. Now I've got Jesus, because he fulfilled every word, and it's true. No man living can fulfill the word of God except the one that came in the flesh, God himself in flesh. Nobody ever lived it. Nobody ever fulfilled it or can. But you see, the thing is, you can believe it. And what if you don't believe that word when it is fulfilled in human flesh? Huh? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Show us the Father. What do you mean, Philip? Don't you understand that what you heard and what you saw is God? Well, he said, I didn't take it that way. And then the bottom went out, the death of Jesus Christ. He comes back in a resurrection. Mary says he's here. Somebody says he's here. And he said, Thomas, and how? He said, he said, that sounds very good. But unless I can poke my hand in his side and my finger in the hole in his hand. Now remember, people want to say it was in the wrist. Because you put nails in the hands, it'll rip apart. I've got news for you. Jesus didn't die being killed. He gave his life. His hands will not come apart. You talk about asininity. So much for your stupid science and doctors. Bunch of Hogan's goats. Hogan's goat was a man that was the pimp for a prostitute named Hogan. Could be. We have a lot of Hogans in the pulpit. And a big fat one over there in Rome. Could be. Yeah. When Jesus showed what the word was, they said, we don't want him. You say, you can't believe that by prosperity? This man prospered, you see. He had plenty. Old church was big, lots of crowds, everything fine. You know, it gets to you. I was surprised the morning sitting with Brother Branham in our room up in Portland, Maine, waiting for the afternoon service. We turned on the TV and here's Oral Roberts. Thousands of people in the tent. And I could see the tears form in Brother Branham's eyes. He said, yeah, I could have had all that with my ministry. But God doesn't want me to have it. It hurt him. Why? Because he had compassion. It would have been nice in Brother Branham's sight, like in yours and mine, to have a huge church and everyone glorifying God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Marching to Zion, wonderful Zion. Everybody in step, glory to God. It looks good. It sounds good, but it ain't so. There's only a tiny little group. Many more are the children of the desolate. Who was the desolate one? Hagar was. Who was her husband by proxy? Who was the one inseminated her? It was Abraham. So who gives the baptism so-called today, the anointing over everybody? God does. But it doesn't mean that you belong to God. It just means you're there because God allowed you to be there and he wrote about you, but your name wasn't even in the book, maybe. You said you can't believe that by prosperity. You don't understand a man prospers and that's God. You can't judge God by prosperity. The world prospers. Balaam prospered by it, but brother, you just judge God by his word. He keeps his word and identifies it the truth. So remember, friend, as long as you live, don't ever forget this. Now, he's talking now of this hour. God doesn't change his mind, ever. He'll bless you. Oh, yeah, he'll bless you. He'll let you go his permissive will, by his permissive will. But he won't change his mind. He won't change his plan. He won't change his word for you. No, sir, you've got to change. You can't have God's word to match your experience. You've got to have your experience to match God's word. That's Cain and Abel, see? You say, well, I'm a good man. God does this, that, or the other for me. Do you keep his word? Oh, well, I tell you, that's just, well, now, all right, there's something wrong somewhere. God's going to prosper you. Sure, he will. He'll make you rich. The denominations have prospered. The denomination has prospered. So who wouldn't have it? In other words, any amount they have. They spread their tents, like the big grain tree, you know, the bay tree David talked about. Great fine churches, everything throughout the land, the rich and money poured in, and members everywhere. God, didn't the Bible say there was found in her even the riches of the world? That's Revelation 18, you know. Even the souls of men and everything that was found in that old harlot. The soul is the blood of all the martyrs. Yeah, double under her, double. See? Remember the rain falls. No. Here it is. Didn't the Bible say that was found in her, even the riches of the world, the souls of men, and everything that was found in that old harlot, which is the mother of the whole thing, corrupt politics and organization? But God's little group is a bride, centered on that word. May the dear Heavenly Father ever keep you stabilized right there. Don't you ever move from the word. You may get blessed. God may heal your sick. He may heal your sick baby. He could heal your husband, your wife. He may heal your mother, somebody else. You may jump at his spirit and dance up and down. Remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, just the same. And when that seed's lying there, it's either ordained or it's not ordained. Amen, that's the truth. The one ordination means it was written about, the other was it. Oh, yes, yes, brother, sister, that's right in the Greek. And if it's ordained... If it's a wheat, it has to bring forth wheat. If it's a word of God, it has to produce the word of God. If it isn't, well, then it isn't. See? You get that now? The Lord bless you. Here I told you I was going to quit at 9 o'clock, and it's 10 o'clock. But I love you. The reason I hold you like this is because I don't want to be cruel to you, but I love you. And what I know, I don't keep anything back. That's what Paul did. I'm free from the blood of all men because I've not failed to declare the full word of God unto you as I know it. If this pulpit here, and I trust I do, declare every single thing that comes to my mind from this, and I believe that to be something essential that you can weave it in and see that makes the picture larger and all for you to help you, I will not hold one thing back. I just spill my guts when I shouldn't do it. Too big a mouth, I guess. Well, that's for sure. Out in meetings where I go, you never hear me preach these messages. That's it with that time. Later on, he had to. Now, I promise you, see, the rapture tape was preached up in Yuma, Arizona. No, I promise you to come to this tabernacle, but right here is where I preach my messages from. I've got three or four more the Lord's given me. I've got the scriptures on it, but I wouldn't dare to preach it anywhere else but right here. Here's where the Word of God started going from. Until God changed it, I'm staying right here and bringing it out right here. That's right. Out yonder in meetings, I pray for the sick, everything like that. And on the side, say things in a roundabout way that the sheep could hear. Notice he does every time. You know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, it's just bait on the hook. You see, I show the signs of trying to show that God knows in discernment and knows the hearts of people and does those things. He said, in other words, my gift of discernment is the basis of it. If I can discern 100% correctly, then why would not the same God show me the truth of the Word? If I can read your hearts and know it, why in the world do I read your hearts? Is that some little gimmick, some Houdini trick? Is that another Janus and Jambers? No, it's to make a point. What was his point? Over here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and in verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder in soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, and that is Laodicea. Yep. Everything's naked before him. They say we're rich in Christian goods and don't lack a thing. He said you're rich and miserable, blind. Absolutely naked. The prophetic discernment right here shows that this is the irrevocable, unchanging, truly interpreted Word of God as God himself brought it to the prophet. There is no way you can get away from that. See? God, he said, I show the signs of, or trying to, now you see what he does? He takes his Word back. Because he doesn't want to tip his hand even there. He said, I'm showing you the sign that makes you to know, which is discernment, that what I'm telling you is the truth. Why, he explains it dozens of ways. He goes back to Moses. He goes back to Paul right down the line and shows that this is of God. See? And knows the hearts of the people and does it. It's God doing those things. That's an evangelistic gift just to stir the people. Now, he said, that's an evangelistic gift. What's he doing? What's the evangelist doing? he spreads the net to take them in. What did Brother Branham do? He stopped them in their tracks with discernment. But listen, you go from discernment to the Word. Like one fellow said, I think Baxter was the guy that said it, though he was a peculiar guy, even with Brother Branham. He was a mess, just in plain English. He said, when you see a sign that says to the bus, you don't get on the sign and ride the sign. You get point, go to the bus and get on the bus. Yet he himself didn't believe it. He never got on the bus. I know all about it. Hey, you come out of Canada like I did, you know a few things from up there. Oh, boy. So far, so good. He said, this is just like a gift to stir the people. I'm casting a net in a prophetic ministry of the vindicated signs that are necessary to grab your attention. And when I grab your attention, you listen. And I explain to you the Word of God. Oh, hey, it's 100% with the Bible. We showed it time after time. All right, the first thing you know, a tape drops into this house, and they got it. If he's a sheep, he comes right with it. If he's a goat, he kicks the tape out. Yeah, what he does, he eats the tape. He doesn't hear it. He can't take it. That's right. Playing tapes, and he talks about playing tapes. Well, that's right. Aren't you glad that you are his? Aren't you glad? You sing a little Pentecostal song like this, I'm so glad the Lord brought me out, I'm so glad the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad since the Lord brought me out. I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, or where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. What's he trying to tell you there? He's trying to tell you, as Israel came out of Egypt under signs and wonders, he said, God went down to Egypt with Moses, and he manifested himself there, not only in signs and wonders, but he appeared visibly in a flame of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today we have his picture. He's letting you know, what did it do? I am glad that I came out by vindication. I am glad that the prophet, by the gift of God, caught my eye. And I stuck around to listen. I'm so glad that I've been brought out. I've been brought out by vindication. I've been brought out by vindicated Word. I'm happy. I'm glad. I'm shouting. And Brother Branham says, that's what we should be doing about this message. Instead of saying, well, you know, that's dead. You got to have this. You got to have that. Hey, listen, I am not against gifts. I'll tell you, let's get gifts in this church. First of all, we got to build a little room. We got enough room. Then who's going to volunteer to tell me today that you have a gift of discerning of spirits that you can stand there? I'm going to be honest, I don't got it. I don't got it. Now, I prophesied right to the letter. Now, you'd have to come along and say, Lee's really right or he's wrong. Are you going to judge my spirits? Now, I'm not saying this because I don't want this done in this church. I'm laying the challenge down. There's a way to go, and we'll go that way or forget it. Ha-ha. See where we are? But you get people right across the pulpit trying to discern and do this and that. Now they say they believe this message. Hog. They don't believe this message. They believe their own imagination. Well, that's the end of the series. Now, I said a lot of things and I said them fast. They're all on tape. A lot of things gone through your minds, they may not be clear. Put it down, let's find out. Next time in the pulpit, we'll go at it. So get your questions in. I have questions from Europe and other places. We'll bring those up. I'm afraid that what we're running across is the more I try to explain, the deeper we get in trouble because they simply do not understand what I'm saying. They simply cannot understand principles that are laid forth by the prophet himself. And if you will not take the principle vindicated by the prophet, you will question and question and question, and you will question upon the grounds of your own morality, on the grounds of your own spirituality, on the grounds of your own conduct, on the grounds of your own walk, on the grounds of your own production. You will not judge according to the Word of God. No, that's on tape. And I know what I'm talking about. Because that's where we've got to go, brothers and sisters. It's no longer talking about Jesus, how wonderful, like we're dancing around a maypole. We are looking at Christ thoroughly defined by His Word because He is in His Word. Now let's dance around the maypole. I love it. You say, Brother Bill, could you shout? If I had an ounce of brains, I would shout. I'm more of a timid character in a way. But shouting is good. But what are you shouting about? Now, if you really know that you know, you can shout. If you really know that you can dance. But don't disturb the service doing it. When the service is over, start it. I preached in the Stone Church in New York for Brother Brandon. Over 500 people packed that place out solid. I preached on the trial of our faith. The minute I got through preaching, I didn't have to say, let's pray. 500 people rose their feet simultaneously, began praising God and praising God and praising God. One guy said, another guy said, I want to tell you what, this is the way it should be. And the guy said, yeah, it should be, but you don't get the word that way. That's one of the greatest compliments I ever had paid. Because word by word by word, you know, I'm not just a pistol. I'm a machine gun when I start moving and preaching. I talk fast today, and I talk faster back then because I was younger. So in 45 minutes, I could pack in maybe three times with the average guy pack in, trying to make every word count because it wouldn't be back. But the shouting and all, brother, sister, it wasn't any answer to anything because they missed Brother Branham entirely and had no understanding what God was really doing because they had their own ideas. And they had enough scripture. It was temporal, temporal here for this earth, not the next. Like the man that was eaten daily. We are spiritual now. They took the temporal. And they built their vindication, their purpose, their principle, their lives upon it. But it was not unto righteousness and eternal life. The best it could possibly be was foolish virgins. And there are not many of them compared to those who has their mother in Hagar, who doesn't have a husband. Let's rise and be dismissed. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and mercy that you give us daily, the word you give us daily by the prophet here. And we can see, Lord, how absolutely true it is. And if we didn't understand it, we know positivity is true anyway because there's a vindication. Who else had any vindication? Surely, Lord, we understand the counterfeit from the original because though the counterfeit could look 100% like the original, it's still a counterfeit because the original is the original. It was there first. Even a good copy is not the original in the sense it could be identical in certain ways and all. Just like we today, Lord, we're your children, but we sure don't compare to Jesus Christ the righteous. We're very, very glad we'll be in his image when we rise. We're very glad, Lord, what you have done and what you have consolidated in your own purpose and what you purposed in your own mind and you brought to pass. And you tell us about it. And I know, Lord, we maybe times think it's a matter of great humility that we feel shy at identifying ourselves with the truth because we look at ourselves. When at the end time, Paul the Apostle said, when the veil is all cut away from the mind, we look in the Word, we don't see ourselves anymore, we see Jesus. That's all we see. We look in and see Him as though we look at ourselves. Because when He became visible in this last hour, the Son of Man ministry came back. We know positively we will be in His image because we acquiesce, we agree, we identify. So Lord, help us to see as never before the true vine. And we are that vine by the grace of Almighty God. Surely the people are glad they have come out. Surely they can shout. Surely they can sing. Surely they can dance. And above all, they could truly love the Lord because we love what we see in that Word. And we see that Word thoroughly identified with Him who is the Word. And we see it thoroughly exposed and we see it thoroughly vindicated. And we say, oh God, that's what we want. Now, Lord, please, can we be smitten rocks of whom the life flows and let that life be the life of Christ? Little words like Peter, little rocks, bringing forth your life. Growing up to the full stature of that blessed man. Father, we've been rough with little young people today. I pray that you'll forgive me and they'll forgive harsh words, Lord. Not meant to cut anybody down, actually, no. But there's no way that any one of us can come against your word and live those lives that are condemned right today. And then come back and say, Lord, I didn't know better because we know better. There's not one of us, Lord, in this last hour can claim ignorance because it wasn't done in a corner. There's not one of us can come before you with any excuses because it's too late. There was a time there was an excuse. But not anymore because everybody's prophesying and casting out devils and healing the sick and everything else. There aren't any excuses anymore. They won't be taken. They can talk all they want, but they won't be excused. They're just condemnation. The chaff goes up. And Lord, let the people understand today that we're no different today than we were 2,000 years ago. No different at all. All we got to do is read history. You see the same sins there. Absolutely. But now we're walking at the end time when everything has come to fruition. And we see where men and women all around the world champion those very things that were not to be done. And encourage people to do those very things that's frowned upon by God. And then say, well, sure, God's a good God. He's going to bless it anyway. So, Father, I'm praying today that people's minds be thoroughly changed. And I'm asking about mine because I've got to stand on my feet, not my mother, father, sister, brother, wife, or anything else, or children. I've got to stand on my feet. And I'm wanting that change of mind, Lord, and I'm praying for the people, too, as you commanded. The preacher would go between the altar and the porch, confessing his sins and the sins of the people, and praying for the same. We're doing that today, Lord. Our trouble is unbelief. We just have not truly accepted the actual grounds of our faith, which is above faith, which is a hope, which is no longer hope, because we've seen it. It's here. We've got everything to take us in. God help us, there won't be one person fall on the way in. I don't know who's elect, Father. Only you know elect. And we're judging that today. The foundation of God stand assured of in this seal. The Lord knows them which are His. The sheep will hear the voice. They will go in. And we say again, Brother Branham, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, help us, Lord, we won't stand in her way or anybody's way. But cheer it on as friends of the bridegroom and friends of the bride. At least we could do that much because we have seen that much and know that much and stand with it in spite of any weakness. In spite of any inner compulsion which we give way to anything at all, Lord, of unbelief or anything. We know that something happened in this hour and that reality is you. We give thee glory, Lord, the way we ought. I believe and hope and trust. And where we fail, help us. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior, world without end. Amen.